You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World, right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happiness. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World Late Night, and it is September 19th, 2013. How's it going, Peter?
It's going okay.
Yeah, man. You just got in at the...
Just got right in. Just Radio Land. It's my wife's birthday, so we were out having a little family dinner and got here just in time to get the actual show started.
Nice.
Or at least you're going to get the show started. Yeah, me actually be here when the show started.
It's all good. And T-Bone will not be in studio today. We might have to give him a call later to get his picks.
But, yeah, that's right.
He will not be in studio with us. He's got some stuff he's got to take care of, but not a problem, man. Not a problem. We, what I was going to talk to you about, there's a couple things I wanted to talk about that happened this week, but we'll get to that in a little bit. How's your week been?
Not too bad. It's like I was saying, a little bit busy, but not too... weird things. Not too bad. As I mentioned, my wife's birthday, so we had back to school night. That's always a hoot. I actually have gotten in a few rides, so that's kind of
nice. I saw that. Yeah. It looked like you went down and had a little pizza, didn't
you?
Yeah,
we went down the river and hung out at Michael's Pizzeria and then rode back. Oddly enough, because from where we are, usually that's a headwind heading down to, downtown, essentially. And instead we had a tailwind.
See,
which meant we had a serious, because it was like 4:30, 5 o'clock, a serious headwind. And, wind doesn't, usually not much of a factor for me, but when I'm pulling my daughter, she was on the ride-along, so, I'm carrying, basically I'm pulling an extra 100-plus pounds, and she's gotten big enough that she is now a sail, essentially. And I could feel it. I was like, oh, this is a tough ride. And of course, we had a bottle of wine, which normally is just perfect. Right amount of, like, a little bit of to drink.
Yeah.
As you ride home, casual. And I was like, oh, God, I shouldn't have had that bottle of wine. I was like, I shouldn't have eaten that pizza either. Because, man, I'm like, oh. Anyhow, it was rough. But I did get, since I saw you last, I think, I saw you on Friday. But since the last week's show, I've had 3 or 4 rides in, so I'm kind of getting back into the steady rhythm.
Cool.
How about yourself?
I squeezed a couple short ones in, but I rode down your way, down the river. I rode up to Dominguez Gap.
Oh, okay.
Turn around there, and just what you said, though, I always get a headwind heading back downtown.
Yeah.
But I always kind of I gotta remind myself though, because the tailwind coming this way, coming north, is really not that noticeable at times.
Yeah,
you kind of go, I'm just cruising along. It shouldn't be that bad on the way back, and then when I make that U turn,
it's always stronger than you realize.
Yeah, but it's good. Starting to get some more back in. I want to get some more decent rides in. I've had a lot of little short. Run to the store type of stuff.
Uh-huh. I always get those in, fortunately. Yeah. Taking the daughter to the school.
Yeah.
Every day she's riding her own bike, actually, so that's been fun. Just not quite. So computer's not plugged in somewhere.
Well, that's true. Huh? mine's on the battery, too.
All right. Let me
I tell you what, let's take a quick break and listen to a little bit of music and come back and get things really rolling. You're just listening to Swoops Roll on the Talk Story Radio Network. We're live also on AM 1670, Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. We're going to listen to Steve Sost, and this is called Twitchin'. Back after this.
Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text.
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. So many comments on my comment.
Hey, guys, check out my new video game.
Mom, what?
Huh?
Pew, pew.
What'd you say?
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Over here, behind the fence.
Huh? You? The bike?
Yeah, the bike. Here in the grass where the kids left me a while ago. Could you get the dust off my seat and remind the kids how fun I still am?
Okay. Oh, you are dusty.
I may need my spokes tightened, too. Let's go.
As Native American parents and caregivers, our encouragement to healthy lifestyles for our kids is helping them get outside and play. Get ideas. Get involved. Get going at letsmove.gov/Indian Country. Brought to you by USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hey, this is Sean Paul on the wall, and you're listening to Swirl.
Welcome back to Swoops Road on the Talk Story Radio Network and Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. And, you know, we were talking a little bit during the break, and I wanted to talk to you about a couple things that happened this week. And we can take whichever one first was the shooting at the Navy thing down there in D.C. Now, you probably know where that was, huh?
Oh, I know exactly where that was. That was we were talking once about how I was traveling in D.C., I lived in D.C. at the time, and I had to go somewhere. I don't even remember where I was going. But I had to go somewhere, and I was telling you how I'm on the train. At some point, I'm the only, like, white guy on the train.
Uh-huh.
And I'm getting these looks like, dude, you're obviously lost. And nobody wants to help me, but then nobody, you know. Anyhow, my stop was, like, the stop past the Navy Yard. I forget what that is now. But I've been to Navy Yard. Navy Yard is one of the stops you can take to get to the Washington Nationals Stadium, whatever that's called now.
Yeah.
Anyhow, there was a time when I lived there, whatever that was, about 15 years ago, it was a tough, tough neighborhood. I mean, you know, it was just, there wasn't anything there. It was just ugly, run-down, burnout buildings, and it's had a renaissance. It's quite nice. From what I understand, there's still some rough patches in there, but it's So, yeah, I know right where that is. I've never been on the actual Navy Yard, which is what that's named after, is the, you know, the actual facility
there. Right.
And I get, from what I understand, it, that got started during the Civil War, that place. It was just, it was put there so that, you know, it was on the water. It was a secure area that they could build ships and build munitions and all that for the Navy. It also served to protect the Potomac right there.
Oh, wow.
Keep anybody from invading.
So it's got quite a storied history.
Yeah, it's got a bit of history behind it. As a, it's a, like I said, it's a metro stop there. As soon as I heard it, I was like, man, I could picture it. Like I said, I've never actually been on the base because right. I wasn't in the Navy. But I could picture the stop. There's a statue of a Navy guy there right when you get off. And just what was the final?
I think 12 people 12, killed.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, the thing is there's a few things. You know, when I first heard it and you hear the reporting and I know everybody's trying to get the information out, but so much speculation goes on and I think it gets people all whipped into these whole things, you know, because, you know, for a while they were talking about, you know, this guy on the loose with an AR-15 and all this kind of stuff, assault rifle and stuff, and then later, you know, I read last night, there was no AR-15, it was a shotgun.
Well, I remember the first thing I heard was multiple gunmen.
Multiple gunmen.
That's the first thing I heard.
I know how that came about, though.
Later when they talked about it made sense.
Yeah.
But still, you know, like you're like, wow, that's a big problem.
That's a big problem, yeah.
It's still a problem, but there's different orders of
problems.
Well,
my thing is that, you know, we've had a couple of these mass shootings on military bases. And for me, it makes no sense that the military personnel on base are unarmed.
Seems odd.
Yeah. I think I would nip that. At least it would shorten that whole thing up real quick, I believe.
Yeah. But I understand, unless I misheard, most of the people that were killed, or at least that he was shooting at, were civilians. And most of the people that work there now are civilians. So
yeah, he was shooting apparently at, in like
there's
a
different parts.
Cafeteria area.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, he was familiar with that area because that's kind of the area he was a subcontractor out of that area.
Right, because he himself was a civilian. He had been in the Navy, right?
Right, he had been in the Navy.
But he was a civilian.
He got discharged. One of the reports I heard, he got discharged. It was not an honorable discharge, but it was not a dishonorable discharge. So, but it was less than honorable. So, I don't know. I have not been in the military. I don't know where those...
Yeah, I mean, there could be medical, you know.
No, they said he was a screw-up.
Yeah,
I mean that's what's coming out now,
right?
You know, and then you hear a lot of talk about what made him do this. You know, the thing is I know we spend a lot of time trying to figure out what makes people tick when they do stupid and crazy and you know hideous things like this. But let's look back. I mean, the guy had been screwing up for quite a few years. I mean, he shot out a bunch of car tires somewhere years ago. He shot through the ceiling of a neighbor's place
about
in Seattle, who he had already had a disagreement with
right.
a few years ago. I mean, take care of these things when they happen, and you never know that these things, the serious things, the most serious of these things might not occur. So.
Well, what I find interesting or disconcerting, however you want to look at this, is, I mean, he clearly had a past.
Yeah.
At some point... Now, my understanding is he wasn't supposed to have access to the Navy Yard, right? But at one time he did.
He did have access previously, yes. And I think he was still able to get on base with his previous.
A couple
ID.
Of my concerns here is like if he was no longer a contractor, no longer had rights, and then somebody then he obviously there's a security issue there. I mean,
of course, in this day and age, there's really no reason to be able, because you know, back in the day, you know, somebody show you an ID, and you'd have to go, you know, hand search to make sure it was still active, or you just assume it was active because they still had it because it wasn't turned in. This day and age of computers and everything like that, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you swipe that thing.
Yeah, so that's a serious concern.
Yeah.
Another concern I have is that, and I haven't followed this part of it super close, so maybe there's a reason, but this kind of goes to, like you were saying, that he's had some screw-ups before. I'm kind of wondering, like, how did he get... See, because I'm not quite sure when he originally had that access.
That's
but it
true.
Seemed recent.
It seemed recent, is right.
And so if it's recent, and he's had these other issues that are pretty well documented from what I understood.
Yeah.
it seems like, again, maybe somebody dropped the ball on the security side of things. We're like, no, this guy shouldn't have ever had that access. And of course, it's so easy, I know, to like kind of look back, hindsight's 20/20. Maybe in all of these incidents, there was like a sort of like, well, yeah, he did this wrong, but if you take it into perspective, it wasn't. Sometimes things get, you know, taken out of perspective, and they look, oh my God, look, see, yeah, we knew he was going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe not, but that, at least on the face of it, is a question that seems to be asked. It's like, should this guy have ever had, you know, we talk about the Chris Dorner and all that. I mean, there was a guy who was crazy. Should he have ever, ever have, and that's, I think, a legitimate question when you talk about these types of issues. We talk about a guy who has access to security, secure areas, and has access to firearms. I mean, seems like there was some balls that got. And
well, here's another thing they said. They said, my understanding is he had the shotgun in the trunk of his car and he drove on base. And now, so I know that years ago, I had a friend who had retired from the military, and I would go on base with him because he'd do his shopping at the.
The
commissary thing, whatever they call it.
Commissary, yeah, yeah.
It was just a sticker in his window. So all he had to do is pull up, they'd see the sticker in his window, they'd wave him through.
Right.
I don't know if the security measures is the same, because that was way pre-9/11. Right. If it's the same way, then there's, and that's how he got on base. You know, we're speculating now too.
Yeah, which, yeah.
But if that's how he got on base, and you know, there's some major issues with
right.
that. I know that stopping to scan everything and everything, but can take, you know, the cars would be lined up, people trying to get to work.
Right.
But on the, you know, flip side of that, you get somebody who does something like this, and you got to kind of figure out where do we, you know, what needs to be in place. It doesn't really cause a whole lot of issues.
And this, to me, and I, you know, I don't want to. Who knows for sure? All this stuff's not out. But this, again, to me, some of this information is coming out. Seems like the Dorner case that happened here, whatever that was, 6 months ago, where, I mean, there should have been flags a lot earlier, and it's been proven, been shown that like. There were
flags, but nobody acted on them.
Exactly.
And that's the same thing with this guy.
And that's what it sounds like with this guy.
This guy, it had some issues where he's, you know, he's hearing voices and things like that. And I guess he'd gone to the VA for mental issues. But and you hear people, like family members, and talking about him and going, yeah, well, you know. A few neighbors have stuck, you know, say, well, I didn't expect that. I mean, he seemed like a nice guy. But I've heard you know, some statements from some relatives or alleged relatives kind of going, he had issues, you know, he had problems and things like that. So
you can't control and stop everything.
No,
you know,
if this guy picks up a knife, hard to control an adult too.
Yeah, if this guy picks up a knife and stabs somebody or drives a car, you know, into a crowded building. But to me, like, it seems like that's where. I hate to even bring up gun control idea issues, but you're talking about lethal weapons. Somebody, if this guy was on that radar of a mentally perhaps unstable guy, there should have been some sort of safeguard there.
He had a shotgun, and apparently they think he took the other two weapons off guards at the facility.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He'd already had a couple run-ins with the law where he'd used his gun.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to me. Like,
now, we want to revisit your ability to carry a weapon, or own a weapon.
That's what I'm saying. That's, you know, because that, I mean, isn't that really what we want? I mean, we want those types of people.
Here's the problem, though. Apparently, there were no charges filed on the one. And the one where he shot through his floor came through the ceiling of a neighbor who apparently he already had a run-in with. He goes, oh, I cleaned my gun and went off, but I didn't see a hole in the floor. So I
remember hearing that. Yeah.
Okay, whatever. And then when he got pissed off at something else and he shot out a bunch of tires, I think he actually was convicted of something for that. But the bottom line is we that's the time you got to say, well, let's see assuming he legally owned this shotgun.
Right.
But apparently he rented a gun week or so ago and used it and returned it and stuff like that. So I kind of think when you have a couple run-ins with the law,
there should be.
It's kind of like if you get a couple drunk drive-ins, they don't let you drive anymore.
That's right. And if they do, they're going to make you do a whole bunch of things first. Like, yeah. Take a couple of courses, retake your test. You know, they make it harder, and as they well should,
you're
right?
You're handling basically a lethal weapon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that is a bit of a... And again, it's perhaps a little early to... Because who knows for sure exactly? I mean, I know I don't know, because I have not been following it super closely. But those were two things that jumped out at me. Like, access to the base... Seems like maybe there's something there. And then, you know, the whole gun issue. Just, this guy just clearly shouldn't have been a guy who had a gun, you know? And, you know.
Yeah, you know, the thing is...
But again, it's easy to say that sometimes.
Yeah, it's easy
fact.
Because a lot of times people obtain them legally without any issues. And then they...
Don't do anything wrong until they
go nuts.
Until
they go nuts. Exactly.
Decide to rob a bank or decide to shoot up a school.
And,
or,
you know, that percentage of gun owners is going to be very, very small... But it's, you know, it makes, it's, you know, it's a, when it happens, it's, you know, it's
right.
This big, huge thing. So I, my thinking is, you know, if you have military facility, your military, you know, your sworn military personnel should be allowed to be armed on that facility.
Yeah.
That's what happened in the Fort Hood incident.
Yeah.
You know, none of them, those were, almost all the people that were shot there were, I believe all of them were military personnel. But none of them were armed. I remember, you know, during the L.A. riots, you know, talking to a guy from the National Guard who was standing there in the street with a, you know, military rifle slung around over his shoulder. Chatting with him, find out they're all out there with no ammunition because all the ammunition was sitting over here in Los Alamitos and they were waiting
for it to get moved.
Well, no, they had to be approved by this entity and that for them to be armed
right.
on the streets, you know. So when you have people walking around with empty guns, and the ones who are supposed to protect you,
yeah.
you know, then you have some problems there, and that's the thing. I, you know, he worked on that base, so he knew that nobody, probably most people there were unarmed,
right.
And there were a lot of people there. Now, you know, obviously, he had some kind of issues with. Had he been fired from there?
I've not yet heard
yeah.
exactly. Like, I know he didn't work there.
Yeah, he
officially
no longer
any
there.
Longer.
Yeah,
but he'd worked for a contractor who had a contract there.
Mm-hmm.
They still had the contract, but he was no longer part of that team or part of that. So, but I don't know how long ago that had been.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard anything as to exactly like motive. Like he did it because he was mad at him. I haven't heard anything to that effect.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, I know we always look for motives, and I understand that when it comes to. You know, the follow-up and the crime-solving and stuff like that. But sometimes I don't think
sometimes
you're going to find...
Crazy
you're
just is crazy.
Not, yeah, crazy is crazy. That's exactly
no.
right.
I mean, if he went in there and tried to steal some top-secret information, we'd know the motive.
Right.
If he went in there and was like, robbing the place, we'd... there'd be a, you go in there just to kill people, there may not be any motive that makes sense to anybody
no.
but him.
Right.
You know, I mean, he obviously had a motive, because...
But we can't ask him about it. Right? So... Yeah,
so that's the thing is, I mean, so, and I can understand you would definitely, yeah, you want to know because maybe hopefully you can
prevent
it in
something
the future. And of course, if you're,
you
know, victim, like your family, you know, you want to know, like, why would they do that, you know? But broken is broken sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just nothing
well,
can be done with that.
What you start having is people speculate and trying to pin things on things.
His dad mistreated.
I opened up something today, and it was like he was really into violent video games. I'm like, so are about 1 billion people.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that's
half of the males in America under the age of what 22 probably fit.
Yeah.
Probably more than half.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably closer to like 80 or 90% fit that. You know, description.
Yeah.
And they're not all out there shooting places up, you know?
Exactly.
I don't know. Those are the people that are looking, they've got an axe to grind. They want to prove a point. They
want
to say, this is why we shouldn't have, you know, violent TV.
See, this is the problem I have anytime any kind of incident, whether it be violent or, you know, pick somebody's cause celeb, happens. Because when that happens, then you get all of this, like you said, all of this special interests that pop out of the woodworks. That, you know, whether it's the people who don't like video games, or violent video games, or people who don't like this, or don't like that, or it's gun control, or it's this, abortion, you name it. You know, it just, whatever, something happens, then all these people come out of the woodworks, you know, thumping her.
Yeah. You know, when I like to, I've referred to this before, maybe on the show. Like when I was in college, there was this class I took about, like, it was like a sociology type of class. It was like human disease, mental diseases. You know, and it was all about this. And then the thing is one of the things they had done is these researchers had put these rats. Now, rats aren't exactly humans, but there's enough similarities as far as how they behave socially. Yeah. They put these rats in this small space, gave them plenty of food, gave them plenty of water, but they put too many rats in too small of a space. And these rats started doing crazy things. Sometimes, you know, that's what happens. I mean, it's just, and we know this is true because there's always been, when we were rural people all spread out, I mean,
yeah,
those kind of violence, you know why? Because you could get up and walk away. And you could disappear.
Yeah, you know? I thought on my back 40.
Or, you know, the other part of that too is like, dude, you're not obeying the rules. You're not sharing the tribe's food.
Exactly.
Go find another tribe. You know? I mean, that's not an option. It's like you are cheek to jowl sometimes. And you know, it's just a lot of people compress. And sometimes there's just that part in there, that brain part that just says, I can't do this. And zip, zip. And, I mean, that's as good an explanation as anything else that's likely to come up. Because there are just people that are broken in the sense that they cannot fit into a social environment and they act out in a violent manner. The scary part is when these people obviously get any kind of weapon, but obviously anything that shoots a bullet is more dangerous than, say, a knife.
Yeah.
I mean, we've heard, I mean, I remember, what was that, like 5, 6, 8 years ago, some guy attacking people with a samurai sword.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
I don't know if he killed people, but he hurt people.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if you got a gun, you're potentially more lethal. Crazy is crazy. I mean,
you know, if there's a will, there's a way. Yeah. You know me. I read a lot about these serial killers, and I watch those biographies and stuff like that. And you know, I'm sure if I was an FBI profiler, I can tell you all these similarities they have and all these little things. But realistically, one crazy guy like the Hillside Strangler, you know, they got their issues. They don't necessarily line up with the Night Stalker's issues.
Yeah,
they don't necessarily line up with this mass murderer's issues. You know, the bottom line is they all got issues. And we are not going to solve
broken.
Everybody's issues.
Yeah, man. They're broken, and they clearly can't fit in, which we see lots of people. Everybody meets those people, you know. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
It's the ones that, when they can't fit in, lash out in violence. That's when you get some serious, serious problems. And it's not a new thing, you know?
Please, this goes back to the dawning of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's sad, you know, that you have all these people that were killed, and you know, it's going to be the talk of the thing for the next couple of weeks, next couple of months, maybe. I'd like to see something different as far as the safety on our military base, because of all the places that people should be, it's like having a bunch of unarmed policemen inside a police station. I mean, there are certain places where you think if you're a civilian employee, you're kind of safe.
Yeah,
you know. And I would think a military base would be one of those. You know, I guess there are certain ones that are training that have. I mean, I guess you know you can't run down and shoot up Camp Pendleton. You know, without some return fire in a quick time period, I would assume, but I got a feeling that a lot of these places, for whatever reason, they need to kind of revisit their rules. So let's take a quick break, and then let's come back and talk about the Miss America, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole other bunch of idiots.
Sure, man.
You're listening to Swoops Around on Talk Star Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. We might even open up the phone lines in case anybody wants to give us a call. That's 562-912-3444. 562-912-3444. This is Last Day Off, and this is called Party.
Can't go wrong because my pants got down. It's all I a pinata, drank a whole keg of horchata. But this party is forever.
And I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person. And if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
For a little ride.
Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Let's take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
And that's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
Talk Story Radio.
Hi, my name is Brent Michelle. I'm a singer-songwriter based in Los Angeles. Why don't you sit back, grab a cold beer, and listen in, because you're listening to Swoop's World.
The world spins before my eyes. One wrong turn, I'm left behind. And so I hide under my skin.
And welcome back to Swoop's World on the Talk Story Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. And Peter and myself are hanging tonight. I don't think I know T-Bone's not going to make it tonight. We're going to try to get him to call in a little bit and see what he's up to and give us his picks, because we'll need his picks later. But, you know, when I was a young lad, somebody once said, it's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Yeah.
And I think the internet has...
I've used that with my kid. He's still trying to figure out what I'm trying to tell him. One day.
Well, with the internet and Twitter and all those kinds of good things, a lot of fools are letting everybody know right up front who they are, man.
There's a bunch of fools out there.
You saw this Miss America thing, right?
And the
big controversy, the backlash behind that. This American of Indian descent won Miss New York.
Born in Syracuse, New York.
She's Miss New York. What's her name?
Nina Davuluri. I'm sure I'm saying that right. It's a tough name. Nina's her first name for sure.
Okay.
At least that's what they're saying.
Yeah, she won, and then all the knuckleheads just went wild on the internet. I am there. Like, they're saying, well, how can we elect an Arab? Note to self. India is not an Arab nation. But, these people were just ruthless, and just the racism behind it, the stupidity behind most of the statements, which, you know, you could be a racist, but you have to be stupid, too. I mean,
yeah.
the comments that just showed up on all these articles were just amazing.
Yeah. Well, as I said to you and to my wife, I says, is she hot? Because really, last I heard, that's what the competition is about. And I mean, I guess if she wasn't from America, then I guess you'd have a legitimate gripe. But she is from America.
She still would be Arab.
So it would be. But you'd have a legitimate gripe. You'd be upset because she's not an American. But apparently she is an American.
Yeah.
And she is definitely attractive.
Yeah.
And if this is to be believed, she wants to be a doctor. So, my goodness, I want to find out where she's going to practice medicine, and I want to help her Help me. Either way, though, I mean, as we were saying in the break there, America, especially America on the coasts, is less and less white.
Let me tell you, man, I just drove to the middle of America this past summer, and it's not exclusive to the coast anymore. I mean, right. It is.
We're looking at a much more diverse, yeah. much more. We got different colors. We got different languages. We might all be Americans, but we, you know. Yeah, I remember growing up. I mean, so and so was calling his grandpa, you know, whatever, and I'm calling my grandfather Papu. And,
yeah.
You know, like even then there was, you know, and that wasn't that long ago. And there's been a lot of changes. And you know, there's obviously a huge, much larger Hispanic population. America's changing. So to expect that Miss America is going to be blonde hair and blue eyed, white skin.
Which is really ridiculous because we've had.
Yeah. What's her name?
Vanessa Williams. She was a Miss America. I think she lost her crown.
She did something they didn't like. She posed in Playboy. Yeah.
But
whatever, man.
We've had
gorgeous.
We've had.
If she was ugly, then maybe they'd have an argument.
Of the sense, right? And so, you know, like you said, if she's born in Syracuse, right?
That's what they say. I mean, I'm assuming somebody checked her birth certificate.
Donald Trump puts on Miss America, so you know he checked the birth certificate.
That's right. That's right.
Because he's a big birth certificate guy.
He is. He's a big birther. So, yeah, this is all just ridiculous. And if she won the competition, I mean, like I said, I don't think anybody could dispute that she's attractive. Now, you might look at her and go, like, that's not what I want to see in a Miss America, but...
Listen, you know, to be fair...
I've watched a few contests.
Neither one of us watched it, so...
Yeah, I
didn't
watch
this one.
We don't
know if she blew the poise category or anything.
Yeah, I've watched it in years, but I do remember watching it, you know, at points and going, damn, I hope Miss So-and-So wins. But I can't ever remember going... That chick was ugly and shouldn't have won.
No.
Or that chick was the wrong color. By the time they get there, they all represent a state, right? By the time they get there, I mean, you're looking at some attractive women. Even the ones you don't think are the most attractive are attractive.
To win your state, you've already have to have won a county.
Right.
To win a county, you've already had to win a couple little smaller things.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to work their... I mean, you know, we make fun of it a lot of times, and especially when you hear these people kind of give these... messed up answers off the cuff. But they actually go through a lot.
They do.
A lot of training, a lot of this and that to get there.
Part of it's just sheer good luck. These people were born with the right genes to make them believable. And then on top of it, though, just like we've talked about with baseball, football, I mean, you were bigger. You're 7 foot. You're already a good chance
to play
basketball.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean you're going to play pro ball.
No.
That's going to require a whole different... Obviously, these are attractive people. You know, to get to that next step, they had to do a whole bunch of things, and she became Miss America.
Yeah, and the thing is they win scholarships and stuff, so they look like most of them, I guess all of them, have plans for higher education, and you know, so a lot of things.
And their job requires a lot of like, not philanthropy, but, you know, like, good deeds.
Going out and visiting
places.
The year that they serve as Miss America.
Yeah.
I've read something, hospitals, cancer wards.
Yeah. They're going, like, to sometimes military bases. I mean,
they're traveling all over the world.
Why shouldn't she be able to represent America? I mean, she's an American. And God knows there's plenty of Indian Americans here.
Yeah.
And as I also said, so if we can't have her because she's not an American-American, right, then what are we going to have to cut everybody out. You're going to have to be like Navajo or Cherokee or Sioux.
The Indian. You're the only one qualified, right?
Yeah. Because everybody else is an immigrant.
As an import.
Is not, by this definition, American.
Yeah.
I mean... If being born here isn't enough of a qualification, then that's what you have to do. I mean, that's the only.
You know, here's the thing. I'm sure when
Inuits.
Vanessa Williams made it, and there were some people that were upset about that and stuff like that.
I do remember there being a little bit of a.
But the thing is,
you didn't have the internet.
Here's
so.
The internet. Yeah, see, with the internet, for all the good things. I mean, they're good things. You know, I wanted to do something the other day, and I needed a really quick guidance. Recipe-wise, I Googled two words, and 10 seconds in, I was in a recipe put up by a guy I watch on TV all the time. So, you know, and you know, sometimes my kid asks me something, and I go, "Well, let's see." And there you go. This country was founded, and whatever. The stuff you can find on the internet like that is amazing. But that being said, the idiots who have access to the internet is scary. It's frightening. Yeah. Because I like a lot of times, back years ago and stuff, I think some of these people they spouted off and got pissed off and everything, but only like 10 people heard them.
Right. And they went to the diner in the morning, yeah, or the coffee shop, whatever it was. You know, they were the guy that was sitting at the end of the bar that nobody else wanted to.
Nobody wanted to talk to.
Yeah.
But he would insert himself into everything.
Yeah. As soon as you started talking, he was listening, and now he's waiting for his opportunity to jump. Yeah. Now he's got the internet.
Now he's got the internet.
He's got a blog, he's got a Twitter, he's got a Facebook. He used to have a MySpace.
He posts on everything. Yeah, and he posts on everybody's thing. It's like a freaking little graffiti artist out there. Yeah. It's nonsense. But it was amazing, you know, when I first saw this come up, I was like, are you kidding me, right? Because these people are really that upset about it. Because, you know what, there are times that I've gone out and done things or been to a store or had bad service somewhere and been pissed off. Still not pissed off enough to take to the web.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so funny these days. It's just,
you know, and then when it gets down to it, as we're saying, these are all attractive women.
Yeah.
It's a bit arbitrary. I mean, I know there's the answers and questions, and you can really bomb, but assuming you don't just bomb, it really just boils down to you're beautiful and she's beautiful, and I think you're more beautiful than she is. And, I mean...
And judges have no qualifications. I mean, a couple of these judges...
Is William Shatner one of them?
There's usually a celebrity, a couple of celebrity judges.
Like William Shatner is one.
Yeah. Well, he knows a pretty girl when he sees one.
Yeah, he does. But how is he going to be able to pick just one? Yeah. Obviously.
He picks one winner, gets the rest of his phone numbers. I wouldn't put it past him one bit. I saw an interview, or listened to an interview with CeeLo Green the other day. You know, he's a judge on, what is it called, The Voice.
Okay.
He copped out to hitting on contestants and people in the audience. And
it's got to be a perk.
you think? Yeah, we've talked about this before. There are certain things that there should be some perks involved, you know? I remember talking to somebody years ago, this old Bill Clinton thing popped up, right?
Yeah.
I said, okay, maybe he shouldn't have lied about it. I said, but the leader of the free world, I think, you know, you might be entitled to a BJ in the Oval Office here and
a
there.
A Hummer?
Yeah.
Now and again. That's a stressful job, I heard.
Yeah, I need you to be relaxed, man.
You know, it's like, what's that Eddie Murphy movie way back? Coming to America. Is it Coming to America?
Coming to America.
Right? Where he's in the...
In the tub, yeah.
And the official ball washer. You know, the president of the United States.
You should
probably have something like that, don't you think?
I think you're entitled to a few perks.
Yeah, I don't know that we really should be upset about that.
No. Yeah, you ought to say, hey.
And if we get a female president in there, she should have some similar sort of...
If your position was, listen, he's the executive in chief, executive in chief, right? You should not lie under oath. Okay, I got you that. I got you that. He's trying to hide crap from his old lady, but okay, when you're sworn in, you gotta play the game. But I'm not gonna fault him for having a little fun, because you know we need the leaders, who have access to the button.
Yeah.
So, you know, be relaxed and chill.
Steady.
And no built up,
anxiety. Be built up angst and anxiety.
Yeah, exactly.
And aggression. Just need to get that out.
Yeah. Hillary was getting busy, then you wouldn't have to worry about that, right?
That's what I always said. So, anyhow, this all seems like, I think T-Bone would call this a non-story story.
Yeah, well, it just shows the idiots that are still roaming the
streets. It shouldn't be an issue. It shouldn't be a story, but it is, obviously.
Here's what always boils down to me. When you see something like this and you see the hundreds and hundreds or thousands of comments coming from people who are extremely ignorant, then I realize that those people walk the same sidewalks as us.
Yeah.
participate in the electoral process. You know, so there are sometimes
the people that are
sometimes
also, like,
you have to revoke
volunteering for a jury duty.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is what the NSA should be working on. They go, okay, you made these stupid statements in chat rooms on the internet. You cannot be at the jury, and you can't vote next time.
No, that's right.
You listen to Super Show on the Talk Story Radio Network. I'll take a quick break. Listen to the Altar Billies back after this.
Oh, I got beers, huh?
Way up yonder is a special place made for you and made for me. Well, all right. Well, all right. If you want to go there, you got to fight for the light. Well, the streets are gold, are lined with pearls. Ain't really none like it in this world. Well, all right. Well, all right. In the prisons of gold.
Greek yogurt. You took the train. You wondered why people spend so much time reading celebrity blogs. You read a celebrity blog. You planned a workout. You skipped it. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a devastating earthquake shakes the community to the ground. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
This is Mean and Nasty, and I'm a Virgo.
Yo, LJ. Gemini.
You're listening to Swoop's World Radio. Get with it, but get lost.
Very lost.
Swoop's World. Yeah, we in here. Got Mean sitting next to me. So this is how we do it.
Listen. Okay, vibe with me as I speak. You witnessing the legend. Black J, we repping 102 DIY to the death. Ain't no crutches on me.
And welcome back to Swoops World and Talkstar Radio Network. Let me tell you about a couple of good friends of Swoops World. And, first of all, Powerhouse Fitness. Our good friend Jack Nunn. Okay. So some things popping up. Powerhouse Fitness, our good friend Jack Nunn. If you want to get in shape, stay in shape, get ready for a special event. It's not even Powerhouse Fitness anymore. What am I? It's Rowworks, man.
Rowworks, yeah.
I'm reading the old thing because I always do it by off. Anyway, Rowworks, formerly Powerhouse Fitness, our good friend Jack Nunn there, has all your needs for all your fitness needs. They have indoor rowing, boot camp, personal training, much, much more. And they specialize in things. Jack will train people who are preparing for triathlons and things like that, as well as all other sports. 5750 Boathouse Lane in Long Beach, or you can go to www.rowworks.com or give them a call at 562-688-1716. Let them know the Swoops World sent you, and your first week is free. For people who need their cars detailed, you want SoCal Mobile Detailing and Spa, where Brandon Williams goes after the dirt. Now, I saw Brandon working on a big SUV yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Nothing was sparkling. he does great work. If you're anywhere in the Southern California area, he will come to you. Cars, trucks, SUVs, and boats, he definitely goes after the dirt. He has the best prices in town, whether it's exterior wash only, wash, wax, full detail, interior, you name it, he can do it. Give him a call at 310-997-5660 or 562-856-8121 or send him an email at so.calmds@gmail.com. Let him know the Swoops World sent you. If you are a cyclist and you like to get out and ride and you're looking for some new places to ride, or if you do live in Orange County, Where to Bike Orange County, and Peter's going to tell us all about it.
That's right. So Where to Bike Orange County is a book I wrote, part of a travel series of which there's about 12. Where to Bike Orange County gets you 80 rides. 30 of those are kid rides, completely bike or car-free rides. The other 50-plus range from very casual 2-3-4 mile rides with lots of things to do to the hardcore 40-50 mile ride with, you know, 1,000 feet of climbing and all that stuff. So something for everyone. Covers all of Orange County. Each ride has some great photos. It's got places to stop, side trips, places to eat, take rest. An accurate map along with the ride log, and there is an app that goes with it all, which will help you, ties in with your Google Maps,
yeah.
keep you on the straight and narrow where you need to go. Anyhow, great book if you are into riding or know someone who is into riding in Orange County, and you can find this book at your local bike shops. Some of the local bookstores are carrying them. I was just at REI back on Friday. And they had one copy left, so if you hop on over there, you can get another.
Get there now, man. Grab that last copy.
So that's a good thing. People in REI are buying the book, but you can also get it off of Amazon and, you know, Barnes & Noble, those types of places. And if you go through the Swoops World website,
right on the front page,
there's an ad that will take you there. If you buy it through Amazon that way, we get a few more pennies on that dollar. So check it out. Great bike, a great book for those of you who are getting back into cycling or starting out on cycling and need to find the good rides that are safe and fun.
We've written you've written them all, of course, but I've had the pleasure of riding some of those routes, and you did a good job, man.
Oh, I mean,
the book is outstanding, and it's a well done book, and the colors and the pages and everything are outstanding, but the routes are great because
I try. And, you know, one of the things I really tried to do was to connect all the routes.
Yeah.
Because, as we all know, you ride a route often. First of all, you get kind of bored with it. But second of all, you get better at it. So you're like, now I need to ride more miles.
Yeah.
And so every route, except for one, not including the kids' ones, because those are standalone rides.
Right.
But every route, except for one, is connected to another route, allowing you to build bigger, longer routes.
Yeah.
And in fact, I did that today with my wife. She wanted to go on a bike ride. We did the Back Bay Newport Beach ride, which is a 10-mile ride, which wasn't quite long enough. She wanted to do something closer to 20. So we connected the Back Bay ride to the San Diego Creek ride. And so
San Diego Creek Ride, is that the one that comes off of like Huntington Beach that takes you?
No, that's Santa Ana. That's Santa Ana River. This one takes you off of so the back bay is fed by San Diego Creek.
Okay.
And so when you are in the kind of, for those of you who are familiar with Newport Beach, when you're like, you got PCH, when you're at kind of like the furthest point away from PCH, that's where the creek enters the bay.
Uh-huh.
And that creek bike path takes you right past like UCI. And then it takes you, actually, then from there it rides all strictly inside of Irvine. And if you take it far enough, it takes you all the way up to, oh shoot, I forget the name of that development, right where the 405 and the 5 meet. What's that called there? You know that newer place? That Ferris wheel?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm drawing a blank now. Anyhow, point is these rides are all interconnected. If we'd wanted to, we could have veered off and gone up towards like Irvine Park.
Mm-hmm.
Along Peter's Trail, and then there's another one. I forget the other one. And yeah, there's multiple. Every single ride has these multiple, so you can build your routes. As you get better, or you get bored with your routes, you can explore Orange County. You can just expand your distances and get some real miles in there.
Now, you cover pretty much all of Orange County, and I know that one of your rides. One of your routes is near Camp Pendleton, which is almost San Diego County, right?
A couple of the rides, about four altogether, actually leave Orange County and go into another county. A couple of them head into L.A. County,
mm-hmm.
especially along with San Gabriel, because that kind of switches into and out of L.A. and Orange County. And down south, you've got the one you just mentioned. That ride takes you into San Diego County by way of Camp Pendleton, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous ride. And then there's another ride that takes you up the Santa Ana River Trail, where it passes out of Orange County and into San Bernardino County. Basically, you end up riding into Corona.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's one of the more challenging rides. That one's 45 miles with 3,000 feet of climbing. It's a good ride, man. Good ride. So anyhow, there's something, like I said, there's something for everyone. For those who want to find, like, the hills that just kill you so you can get those descents, there's some rides in there that have 12% grade, you know, hills. And then there's those rides that are totally, completely flat. And just right on the beach, car-free, something for everyone.
That's cool. Just very, very cool. Where to Bike Orange County, written by Peter Dopulis here. For those of you who have an iPad, Color Patterns app is the way to go. Color Patterns app made by Talk Story Media, the people who bring you Talk Story Radio. It's an app it goes on your iPad, and it has a pre-designed patterns on there. And you can go to, I forget, it's like 35, 40 patterns. And you can go to pick a pattern to choose. And has
10,000 colors.
If Bone was here, millions of colors. It's got, you know, probably about 100.
More colors than you need.
Yeah, colors to choose from.
You're going
to
have a hard time figuring out which color you actually want to use.
Exactly.
There's how many there are.
Different brush sizes. You can use your finger. You can use a stylus. You can create, a beautiful picture. Then you can email it to a friend, text it to a friend. You can have a postcard made out of it and mail it to a friend or to yourself, whatever floats your boat. But so many different things to do with the Color Patterns app. $1.99 in the App Store. Check it out. Color Patterns, and you will have some fun. I think it's about time for brewskis. What do you think?
It's always time for brewskis.
Time for brewskis. Let us find our intro, because everything has an intro, man. Otherwise, it's just not right.
It's for professional like
yes,
that.
Yes, exactly. Stupid. I gotta get this thing working again. Oh, there it is. Oh my god, there it is.
It's time for Brewskis, our beer tasting segment right here at Swoops World Late Night, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. So grab yourself a glass, pour yourself a brew, and join us right now for Brewskis, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com.
Alrighty, well, happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday!
I'm not stealing Bones' line, because
Bones not here, man!
Anyhow, it's now beer time, beer tasting time, as we do, brewskis. Tonight's drink is, first of all, it's out of a can, which is a little unusual. You know,
very unusual for us.
Very unusual. You know, and the thing is, cans have a bad rep, and they're not the greatest, but
they are a delivery system.
They are a delivery system, and I have seen some beer companies move to plastic. right? Especially like when you go to the ballparks and stuff like that.
Yes.
And I will tell you that I would rather drink a beer out of a glass bottle, but I would certainly rather drink a beer out of an aluminum can than a plastic bottle. So I can live with this. We've enjoyed the Murphys and the Guinnesses that come in, and Boddingtons that come in can. I think if cans are done right, it can work. So I'm not totally against it. It's not my first choice, but especially in those places where you can drink a beer as long as it's not in glass.
Yeah.
This is a good answer. So, anyhow, what we're drinking tonight is Maui Brewing Company.
Lahaina.
Yeah. And
it's one of my favorite cities in the whole
world. It's their Big Swell IPA. There's not a lot on their website about this, but here's what they have to say about it. It's brief. Big Swell IPA is a fresh, handcrafted India Pale Ale brewed with huge amounts of American hops and malted barley, dry hopped to perfection. And so, like I said, not a whole lot, so we'll in a moment here we'll be able to tell you a bit more. Good-looking label. And like I said, I wouldn't... Cans are never my first choice, but for good beer, I will drink out of a can.
I'm willing to take a chance on it. Like I said, I'm not a big aluminum can beer guy, but...
But there's certain places, like you're camping, you're on the beach, in those parks that where, you know, you're maybe not supposed to, but people are willing to look the other way as long as it's not a big, giant glass something or other. So there you go. So here we go. Salute.
I think you're up first this time around.
Okay. Well, we are, as we've talked about many, many times, huge IPA fans. So, to really wow us, this is going to have to be something spectacular. And unfortunately, I'm not finding it spectacular. It's okay. It's decent.
It's drinkable.
It's definitely drinkable. But especially when you're talking IPAs, it does have a nice hoppiness. I'll give you that. There's a hoppiness, but there's... It's something in the balance is off.
It seems a little sweet.
A little sweet. And I'm getting this sort of odd smell that I feel like should not be in there. Like it's not hop aroma. It's not malt aroma. There's an odd...
It's Maui. It could be pineapple.
There's an odd something that's throwing me. So that's also there. So altogether, I wouldn't say a huge hit. But certainly not a failure either. Just sort of kind of middling, average type of beer.
I'm with you on that. It's not a failure, and it won't crack our top 10. And I can't even tell you what our top 10 are off the top of my head, but I know it won't make it. It's drinkable. If somebody handed me one, I'd probably drink it because I've had it, and I'm like, okay, I know I'm familiar with what it's going to taste like.
Yeah.
But some of the big, bold IPAs that we drink, it doesn't hold up to those at all.
Right.
But it's above a lot of the other beers that we see, not necessarily we've tasted, that we see, we've come across. I don't think it's the can. I think it's in the brewing process. It's nothing to write home about.
Yeah. I've had a couple more tastes since. There's definitely the smell. I think more than anything else is throwing me.
To me, it's got a sweet taste to it.
A sweet taste, but then that smell is almost...
I'm a little stuffy today.
Yeah, it's almost medicinal. It's almost, you know, like, there's something there. It's not quite like if this was one of those Belgians that with those crazy funky spices and sour flavors, and I smelled this, I'd be like, okay. That's what I would expect. But an IPA, it's usually a super, you know, super clean, crisp. There's something off there that's throwing me.
Much like the Morimoto L we tasted last week, where I said, well, I could see where this would fit the type of food he makes. I could see this sitting over and there's a place called Cheeseburger in Paradise. I could see this sitting there on the water there in Maui, in Lahaina on Front Street. I could see this in any of the restaurants down there. I can see where it would fit in there amongst the pina coladas and all those other things like that. But compared to, you know, what we normally taste each week,
yeah, yeah.
it's
and with it, that being a tropical area, you don't want a beer that's too heavy, right? As we've talked about, you want something kind of so. And again, it fits that. So again, not a failure,
no,
but not a giant success either. I would say
scale of 1 to 10.
I'm gonna give it. It's better than a 5. I'm gonna give it a 5.5.
Well, see, we were right about that. I was going to give it a solid 5, but, you know, I'm staying there. But, yeah, it's like I said, it's like, listen, we got a 6-pack of it, and then we'll all be finished.
It'll all be finished. It'll all be finished. So there's, yeah.
What, sans the medicinal smell that you get out of it, what would you be eating with this?
This is, you know, it's not so big that it's going to overwhelm everything, you know, as some of the
I don't see it overwhelming anything.
Yeah, I don't see it overwhelming anything. It overwhelmed dessert, but exactly. That's about it. So this is kind of like an all-arounder, you know? You could easily do stuff like you know, barbecue for sure. This will go. Chips and salsa. You know, those type of starters. Probably.
I could have seen us when we were camping, and we went through our little, you know, our flights.
Yes.
We could have started off with this.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It fits that because it's even though it is an IPA, it's light enough in body that you wouldn't feel heaviness.
Yeah. I mean, I could easily see a Hoohearten following this as opposed to leading into this. You know.
Yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. So you know, kind of all that middle type of stuff. Probably not pastas and all that, but more like the, you know, your meats and you know, French fries and, you know, fried food. I can see this holding up nicely too. So it's that
calamari.
Sort of kind of that. Some fish, some grilled fish. This is fish tacos. This will probably go just quite nicely with it. So anything big and really smoky, you're probably not gonna. This will lose out, I imagine. So yeah, shrimp. You know, like grilled shrimp or like a spicy shrimp, sweet and sour type deals.
Right.
I could again see that going. Those types of things.
Nice. Well, I think we have a what do we think? ISO 5 and ISO
5.25.
5.25. There you go, man. So that's not bad.
Not bad.
So that was Maui.
Now, for those of you, I wanted to throw that out there. For those of you who where'd it go? I had it. For those of you who might be interested in trying some of those, they have some interesting brews. They got Bikini Blonde Lager, which I imagine is pretty dull. But Coconut Porter.
Now,
that sounds.
I was telling somebody.
That sounds like dessert.
And they said that they had the Coconut Porter in a beer float locally here at Tavern on 2 on 2nd Street. That's what they use with their beer floats.
Well, what they say is that it's hand toasted coconut. I don't care whether it's hand toasted or not. The fact that it's toasted coconut, that might work. That might be interesting. The big concern there would be sweet. You know, obviously, like a porter already is kind of on the sweet side when talking about beers anyhow.
That's usually why they use it for the float, huh?
Yeah. And so that might be a tasty beer, and I could definitely see that, as we've talked about many a time, having beer that is beer instead of your dessert.
Yeah.
I can see that possibly doing that. I haven't tried it, but for those of you who are interested, and then there's Mana Wheat, which is a wheat beer, which it's infused with Maui Gold Pineapple. I don't think I'm going to like that, but I know for those of you who like, you know, kind of those sweeter beers, the fruit-flavored beers, that could work. I could see pineapple working. Done right, that might be not my type of thing, but for those of you who like that, that's
I'm not familiar with a pineapple beer, but I do like the pineapples from Maui. So
could work.
It might be good.
Yeah. So I don't know. Besides Hawaii, where you can find these?
These beers?
Yeah. I mean,
you can find these beers at BevMo.
BevMo's got them. Okay.
I believe, and they were at the top there. Said it was a thing for locations or something. Or I saw it somewhere where it had places listed, and one of them was BevMo. So. But you can get them at BevMo.
So check that out.
And
looking at the map here, if you pretty much live east of Arizona, you are going to have a hard time locating
it. There's one place there. What state is that?
It looks like Virginia and West Virginia, I believe. Virginia? No, just Virginia. Oh, Virginia and Maryland. Okay, Virginia and Maryland. That's the only states on the East Coast. And nothing in the Midwest except for Texas.
And the West Coast looks like Utah and...
Yeah, you got pretty much everything on the West Coast. Idaho, Nevada, Colorado.
That's New Mexico, right?
Yeah, New Mexico's nothing in New Mexico. Yeah, Arizona and Texas. So, a little spotty for our listeners who are not... You know, in the Southwest.
But our
West.
Friends in San Antonio can pick some.
But our friends in San Antonio, it looks like if you try, you can find it. Yeah. You know, I know Texas is a big state, but somewhere in Texas, they've got this.
Everything's bigger in Texas. There you have it, another edition of Brewskies, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. That's Brewskies, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. Go there, join the Beer of the Month Club, and you too can be tasting what tastes each week. Take a quick break. Listen to some Brent Michelle. This is called Round and Round. Back after this.
The world spins before my eyes. One wrong turn, I'm left behind. And so I hide under my skin. Till I can start all over again. And round and round we go to places we don't know, so we can redefine the thoughts that roam our mind. And round and round we go to places we don't know, so we can redefine the thoughts that roam our mind. Do I get back on? And then I'll use my wings and fly until I'm found. And round and round we go to places we don't know.
Thoughts are roaming. Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you. And your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
And now we have an 8-year-old on the line. Welcome to Our World Today. What's your question?
Our continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that 71% is comprised of water. Man automatically adapts to environmental conditions. So why do I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. Brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
This is Carrie Wade, and you're listening to Swoop's World.
Is it a constant spin? I ask as I begin to once again feel unsettled in my skin.
You know that sound? It's time for sports with T-Bone's Time Out. Or as we say it here, it's T-Bone's Time Out.
And welcome back to Swoop's World, and it's time for T-Bone's Time Out. Sans T-Bone.
That's right.
We should have texted him during the break to see if he's going to call him with his picks. But, hey.
Yeah, because we got to still do our picks, right?
We got to do the picks and stuff. So,
all right, you talk for a moment. I'll text him and tell
him. I was just going to tell you to do the same thing. Because you had the baseball stuff pulled up.
Actually, then you do it because I don't have his right here. You work with a new phone.
You work with the baseball
stuff. Yeah, okay. So, well, for those of you who are paying attention to baseball, baseball's getting quite interesting. And I think we're down to like 10 games, for, give or take. You know, some people got a little more, a little bit less. I don't do this nearly as well as T-Bone, so just bear with me. But as we have talked about, with the wild card going on, there's a lot more teams involved. And not to pick on Swoop's Yankees, but I mean, the Yankees are 11.5 out of the East. They'd be done.
They're done, man.
But no, they still got some chance. There's not a lot of hope there, but where'd the wild card ones go? There they are. You know... Point is that there's a lot more teams that would have been... The Yankees are 2.5 out. Nobody would even be wanting to watch the Yankees or Kansas City, you know, except for the fact that there is that wild card thing going on. So they're 2.5 out of the wild card. So 2.5 with 10 or so to play is not great odds, but it makes you go, I got to watch some of these games.
Right.
So baseball's done some good things there. And so looking at the American League... wild card. You've got Tampa Bay and Texas are dead even pretty much. And I know they were playing each other tonight, and I don't know how that ended up. When we left the pizza place, they were tied 2-2. So who knows? I don't know where that exactly ended. And then in the National, so you got Tampa Bay and Texas are at the top. Cleveland is a half a game behind them. And of course, Tampa Bay or Texas, one of them did lose. So Texas Tampa Bay and Texas is one of those guys.
I got the scores up. You want to know?
Yeah. What do you got there?
The Dodgers at the bottom of the sixth, they're down 4-2. You were talking about Tampa Bay and Texas, right?
Yeah, Tampa Bay and Texas.
Right here. Final. 4-3.
4-3 Rays. Yeah. So that means Texas and Cleveland, I think, are tied.
So 12 innings.
Yeah, wow. So they're tied for the second spot, and Tampa Bay is in there in the first. And then Baltimore and the Yankees are both... Baltimore's at one game out, Yankees and Kansas City at 2.5 out. So theoretically, they could make it. They'd need a good run, but it's possible. In the National League, you've got Pittsburgh and Cincinnati... And next to a virtual tie, and of course, Pittsburgh is battling still with St. Louis. Both of these teams are battling with St. Louis.
Pirates lost today, too.
And the Pirates lost today. So that's going to hurt a little. Washington is five out. And you would say that they are pretty much out. But the fact that they've won something like the last... something like 13 of 15 games.
Yeah.
Means, again, that they're... like, most of their fans would be... no reason to watch. But with the wild card, there is a reason to watch. And so... making up five games is going to be tough, but certainly not impossible. So anyhow, wild cards making things interesting, in baseball. So I'm looking forward to that, and it's always my favorite time is like 2 weeks from now, when sports wise, when these games start and there'll be a wild card playoff, one game playoff, which is, as we've talked about in the past, one of the most exciting situations. Doesn't happen very often in baseball where you have one game, one single game, to decide
everything.
These
guys come out at those times. They have got to be... those first couple innings are usually just junk.
Yeah.
Because it's just so much pressure going on right then. You know, unless somebody just jumps all over somebody right out of the gate, and then next thing you know, the guy's only pitched inning and third, and he gets pulled. Yeah.
Usually they tend to play a bit conservative because it's not like you can't say, well, okay, we're going to win that next one. This is the one. Those tend to be some pretty exciting games. A lot of bit nerve wracking if your team's in there, and if your team's not in there, as a neutral, just a fun game to watch because everything's on the line. It's like a seventh game,
right?
It's the first game, so it makes for interesting times. So. And oftentimes, of course, in this case, these teams will have played each other before, so there'll be a little bit of history there. It won't be like the National League, American League, where usually they haven't played each other in the same year, and sometimes not have played each other for years. Right. So it could be interesting. I'm looking forward to that. And, otherwise, not a whole lot of new as far as who's going. In the National League, Atlanta's going for sure. The Dodgers are going for sure. St. Louis is getting closer to sure, but that's not a sure thing. In the East, in the American, you've got Boston's going for sure. Detroit is there, it looks like, with Cleveland six games out. And Oakland looks like a certain with Texas six and a half out. So there it is for baseball, as much as we're going to do. we're not T-Bone, so tip our hat to him. He does a good job.
He's going to call in. Should I have him call in right away?
That'd be cool. Well, before he calls in, because since he's not here, he's going to have to suffer.
Yeah.
I personally could care less who wins between UCLA and Nebraska. Normally, I could care less. But I did, in our pool, pick UCLA.
So did I.
To beat Nebraska. So... T-Bone's a big Nebraska fan, and as we all know, Nebraska, they got beat.
Well, here's the thing.
Right?
They got beat, and one of the things was that I had a feeling UCLA, even though they're ranked a little higher anyway, but they had a kid who got killed the week before.
Yeah.
And, they're... there's something about teams on any level, in any sport... when you have tragedy like that, they usually band together pretty well and come out and do what they have to do, even if they lose a close one. But they usually make a respectable showing. And you gotta give props to the Nebraska fans because they and the Nebraska team. Nebraska team wore that kid's number during the game, and the fans showed a little respect with some banners. Nick Pasquale, I believe, was his name.
Yeah, so that's right.
It was. It was very, 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 very moving in that sense. And then the game played. It was a good game. I mean, Nebraska, I think, took the lead and had a lead. And second half, UCLA just came roaring back.
So. They scored something like the last 21 points
that. It was brutal by the end of the, end of the game. So it was...
I guess Nebraska, did I read right? Nebraska dropped out of the 25.
Did they?
25, I think. They were 23rd. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
T-Bone will correct me if I am.
Well, get your headset ready.
Getting on?
I'll tell him to go ahead and call in. Because he can give us a little insight.
He'll definitely give us
Nebraska coach got in a little hot water yeah? After the game. This is the kind of crap that just kills me. He got in hot water because somebody released a audio clip of something he said 2 years ago. And he was just basically talking about fair-weathered fans and, you know, we don't need him and stuff like that. So
he's talking truth.
Pretty much. But it was 2 freaking years ago. And now, now he's in hot water over this stuff.
I thought you were going to say...
And apologize. You thought it was going to be... I know you're talking. You think of Paula Deen type thing?
Yeah, yeah.
No. Which was in the 80s.
Yeah.
And she admitted to it.
Which... None of that's right.
But still, somebody asks you a direct question, you give a direct answer. Then why the fallout afterwards?
Yeah. Years afterwards.
Yeah.
Decades after. I thought you were going to tell me. So he was just talking about...
he was talking about Nebraska fans. Fair weather
and...
Apparently, the story behind it was they were expected to lose a game, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they won a game. And people had already posted things about... blah, 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 this, blah, blah, that. We're going to lose, this and other. And his kind of response after the game was, we don't need fair weather fans. Don't even show up for our games. Don't even come. I think some of them left the stadium before the win. Something along those lines,
I think pretty much just about any, especially college coach, would say that.
Yeah.
And maybe not say it recorded.
Well, he didn't know. I don't know if he thought he was... It wasn't during the interview. It was pre-interview.
Oh, okay.
So I don't even think he knew he was being recorded.
Right.
And then, even so, 2 years later, you're gonna. This is how you're gonna make your big point. This is how you're gonna make yourself famous. You're gonna release some audio you scrolled away for 2 years.
Obviously, waited for a loss.
Yeah, man.
To do so.
And Bone, come on, man. Put down the beer. Pick up the phone. Dial the number. Oh, I see the problem. He's dialing the wrong number. 3444 He should know that. Though no, I typed it in wrong, but he should know that. Yeah. He should know the call in number. We're gonna have to have a what do you call that? A remediation. He's gonna say, "Dude, I dialed the number you typed in." I got big fingers, man. 562-912-3444, Bo. So, yeah, let's see if he gets that in. Anyway, so that was the story behind it there. Hello, you're live on Swoop's World.
Hey, what's happening, Swoop?
T-Bone!
Fellas, I feel out of place here.
You are out of place.
I'm literally out of place.
Yeah, we're trying to do T-Bone's timeout with a couple of neophytes when it comes to talking sports.
And we're failing miserably.
Oh, I don't know about that. At least you can talk about the Dodgers.
Well,
favorite thing to talk about.
You obviously weren't listening. We were talking about the UCLA Nebraska game.
We were saying,
oh yeah. Well, why do you think I wouldn't listen to that? I enjoyed the first 20 minutes of that game. 25-ish maybe. And then it wasn't so much fun for me.
Well, like I was telling Peter here, I kind of had a feeling because the whole thing with Nick Pasquale. Teams on any level seem to rally behind a tragedy like that,
and especially in college teams in particular. You got young people who really the emotion can play into it so much more with guys like that. This is their college buddy. This isn't just some work colleague, like maybe guys in the NFL might see it too. Exactly. So.
Well,
but aside from that, they're a good team, and they just beat the crap out of Nebraska in the second half. So
there's a lot
to be said for the fact that they just were the better team. So.
Exactly. Well, we touched on another thing that happened afterwards. The coach being a little hot water for something something that was recorded 2 years ago. Give me a break.
Yeah, and that is such BS.
Yeah.
I mean, this happened 2 years ago in a closed locker room after a crazy game with the biggest comeback in school history. Anybody who wants to throw that out now and say that, this is more of a reason for this guy to be fired, it's just crap. It's so in the past. It's just absurd.
I agree
with
you there, man.
That's what happens when you have people who are upset. They do stupid things. And whoever decided that now was the time to leak that was clearly very unhappy and upset. And there are a lot of Husker fans who think that Bo has proven over the last few years that he can't get over the hump. I'm not necessarily one of those guys, but there's a lot of unhappy fans right now. So,
well,
whoever did that though is a total coward, piece of crap.
Yeah, you think? So you notified me today that you weren't going to be coming in. You're getting ready to skid out of town, but you also notified me that I had a error on your on your overall total there, huh?
Yes, on the tally. Yeah.
Let's see. Let me take a look at this here. Overall results. I have you down for 8, and you're saying it should be 9, right?
I do. I do say that.
Well, let's see what you picked up this week. You picked up 1, 2, 3, 4. You're right. It should be 9. My bad. It will be corrected.
All right. Well,
so
you
got 5
I have
right last
but,
week?
He got,
I got 5 the first
five
week,
the first
and I got 4
and 4
week.
The second week.
Just, you know, well, I just want to make sure.
Still just
closing
above
in on
two-thirds
them.
Right now.
Yeah, I picked up a big one this week. Man. That was brutal. And you know what?
Oh,
and one of the reasons was is because, I just sucked. Never mind. I was gonna have to come up with something. Well, you guys have picked these other two teams. And I think I just sucked. I took a couple of gambles that I knew were gambles, but I felt confident in those picks. Like,
I will be honest. I didn't feel great with the Nebraska UCLA game when I made the pick, but I had to make the pick.
Yeah.
Because I knew if they did pull it out, I'd feel like a real schmuck today talking about it.
if I picked
against them. So.
Well, I know you're a busy man, and you called out for tonight, but you got to make your picks, otherwise you're going to be way behind. Well. Be way behind Peter because I'll probably pull up another one for the week, which will never really not do any damage to your totals. But you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
NCAA, Murray State versus Bowling Green.
I've got Bowling Green on that one.
T-Bone's got Bowling Green. Peter.
Funny thing is there's no green in their colors. They wear orange and brown. Go figure.
And they don't bowl.
Yeah.
I was going to go Bowling Green as well.
See, and I'm going Murray State. This is how it all starts.
No, now you get to go first.
Swoop, can you tell me what state Murray State is in?
I have no clue.
It's in Murray State, dog.
It's in Murray. Yeah.
It's in the
it's
state
in
of Murray.
Murray. Come on now.
Michigan
it's
State.
I couldn't tell you either. What is it? Tell us. Do you know?
It's in Kentucky.
Is it really?
Yeah.
This is why we need you here, man.
That's right.
You're our walking Wikipedia.
I don't know why, but for some reason I would have guessed Michigan. I don't know. Maybe it's just M, but that's what I would have guessed.
All the little schools in Michigan are named after compass points.
See?
It's Eastern and Western.
I wouldn't
Central
know that
and,
see? Well, speaking of Michigan.
This is why you're in charge of T-Bone's timeout.
Game number 2 on the tally sheet here is Michigan State at Notre Dame.
Right, the U-go.
Listen, this is why it sucks. See, common sense says go with Notre Dame because they're going to win this game. But I can never pick Notre Dame.
I think I already picked Notre Dame.
So
once.
I'm going to go with Michigan State, and that'll be my second loss of the week.
I don't know.
I'm going with Michigan State.
Michigan State's beaten Notre Dame like 8 of the last 9 times they've played, or something
like
that.
But I saw who did Notre Dame play? Purdue. They made Purdue look silly in the second half.
Yeah, you know, I only watched one game on Saturday, and it kind of soured my experience. I didn't watch any other college games this last weekend. I'm not going to lie there. But
we'll let you go second on this one.
I'm curious as to what the over-under is on this game, because I don't see Michigan State scoring more than 12 points. But I still think they've just got some mojo when it comes to playing the Irish lately. So I'm going to go with the Spartans. I'm going with Michigan State.
You're going Michigan State, all right. Peter?
I was going to go Michigan State as well.
Wow. And I think
Because I think I picked Notre Dame before and they lost. So now I'm annoyed.
I could be wrong. Let's see. Peter, you go first on this one. Arizona State at Stanford.
I'm going to go with Stanford. I'm just looking at those numbers, 5 and 23, you know. I know, not supposed to do that, but And we have talked about it. Stanford looks like a good team. So
they do?
Mm-hmm. I'll go with them.
Timo?
Well, yeah, I think Arizona State had a big, crazy win last week. I didn't see the game, obviously, but I did hear about all the hullabaloo about how that game finished out with Wisconsin and ASU last week. I still think Stanford's just too good right now, so I'm going with Stanford.
Well, it's going to be Stanford across the board on that one because I just don't see Arizona making up the difference, talent-wise there. And Stanford, they're a force to be reckoned with in certain games, and I think they'll do well. They're number 5 in the nation, so we'll see how that works out. Moving on to the NFL, I think, T-Bone, you're back to being first on this one. It's Kansas City at Philadelphia.
Well, this is a fun one because Andy Reid, who coached Philly for like 14 years, is in his first season coaching the Kansas City Chiefs. And this will be his first game against his old team. And I think Kansas City is showing that they have a pulse this year, so I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
You go with the Chiefs. Peter?
Well, I just hate Kansas City. So. Not that I like Philadelphia, but I hate Kansas City, so I'm going to pick Philadelphia.
Peter's going with Philly. I still... never got used to watching was it Montana that went to Kansas City? Marcus play there for it? Just didn't look right in those uniforms.
Did not look right.
I understand what Bone is saying, but I kind of like the way Philly's looking this year. You know,
and, the Eagles.
Yeah, I like
that's
the,
your that's
like
your son's Bears. Favorite team, right?
It is his favorite team, which normally makes me go vote against him. but I will go with the Eagles today. Buffalo at NYJ. I think I'm up. The kid at Buffalo looked good last week. The kid in New York. I'm going with Buffalo.
Me then.
I think it's he went second.
I can go. That's cool.
Yeah,
I'll go.
Go ahead.
I have a hard time picking the Jets, even at home against the Bills. I think that Buffalo coming off a big win this last weekend. They almost beat New England. I think they're going to go in and slap the Jets around a little bit. So I'm going to go with the Bills.
And I'm going to go with the Jets.
Jets. Jets.
Feeling.
Oh, Peter's trying to differentiate himself right here. He's trying to pick up some games on me.
Now, see, the Monday night game is torturous because.
Oh my God.
I can't believe you even put it in there. I know it's the Monday game, but...
Well,
I always put the Monday game in.
I think you should have made an exception this time.
It would have been wrong, because it would have been, been wrong. But now we feel like T-Bone did last week, you know?
Because at least T-Bone's team had a chance to win. Ours does not.
What kind of, are we fair-weather fans? Well, let's let T-Bone go first, and then we'll go from there. T-Bone, I'm assuming I'm assuming you're going with the Denver Broncos. Yeah.
The whole division won this past weekend because I did watch the Sunday games. I did watch all the NFL games, and the Raiders look like a different ball club. But I just think that with as many weapons as the Broncos have on offense right now, even if the Raiders can light up the scoreboard, I don't think they keep up in that regard. So I gotta go with Denver on this one.
Peter.
Well, you know, I'm a Raiders fan, and I'm going to be cheering for Oakland, but I'm going to put my money on Denver.
Well, here's how I said. I'm much like you. I will be cheering for the Raiders with everything I got, but when it comes to cold, hard cash, I got to go with Denver.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like what I said all along. You know, there's a few guys out there that when I watch them run their offense, I mean, it's like Patton working out there in, you know, in World War II. It's just the, when you see Manning changing plays and calling plays and making adjustments at the line of scrimmage, it's just fun to watch. And there's very few guys that are that good, and I just don't see many teams being able to overcome that. So I, as much as I love the Raiders, and we'll be cheering for the Raiders, and the one with the fewest wins here on our picks, kid picks, I'm going with Denver on this one.
Yep.
Just at least to keep up. Not fall any further behind, hopefully. T-Bone, any last words? Anything you want to touch on before you go? I know you're a busy man, but anything you want to say before we?
Well, you know, I had the privilege yesterday of getting to go, rather than go to my regular job. My work sent me and all of my other coworkers to a little inspirational, motivational seminar kind of deal, which, you know, most of it was kind of rah-rah BS, but Terry Bradshaw was there, and he talked for a good 20 minutes,
awesome.
And oh, God, like, that dude, completely different in front of a crowd than he is on TV. A little harder to understand because the Louisiana comes out a little more, but that guy is hilarious, and he had a whole bunch of funny old football stories about his old teammates from the Steelers back in the 70s, and it was a treat to see. The rest of it, like I said, I could have taken or left, but just to get to see him get up there and gab for 20 minutes or so was pretty dang hilarious. I encourage anybody who gets a chance to see him as a public speaker to take advantage of it, because like I said, he is really, really restrained on television. He's got that dude has a whole lot of personality. So that was a fun thing that I got to do yesterday, and I'm definitely going to rub it into my Steelers fan roommate here in just a minute. So
that's cool, man.
It was cool, man. It was a really neat experience. So I'm sorry that I'm not there in studio with you guys tonight, but I appreciate the opportunity to call in. You guys enjoy the rest of your week and your weekend, and I will catch up with you next week, hopefully with some stories to regale you with about my my adventures in Mexico. Hopefully I'll catch something on the boat, not something else.
Get back safe, and I don't want to hear about you. You know, we only have a little bit of ransom money for you, so.
That's right.
Thankfully, I'm flying, so.
Okay.
I won't have to go through stretches of nowhere on the highways. Have fun little roadblock setup. So.
Good enough, brother. Hey, thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, man. You guys have fun. I'll catch up with you next week, okay?
All right, sounds good, brother.
Safe trip, bro.
All right, peace.
T-Bone calling in for the picks and whatnot. Shout out to Dave in the chat room. Yes, I don't multitask real well, so I didn't realize you were there, brother.
Stacey and Alma are there.
Stacey
well.
And Alma are there. Oh, no pick. That's why we didn't know there. So, right. Shout out to Stacey and Alma in the chat room there. That's that big blank square there.
Mm-hmm.
They can upload
that's
a
what
pick.
They look like. They're a big blank square.
Happy to have them back and in the chat room. They've been listening via various ways. We're going to take a quick break. Listen to who we got on. Oh, Channel 3, man.
Channel 3,
and we'll be back after this.
Hey, this one's called You Make Me Feel Cheap.
to it, ladies and gentlemen.
Flies tickling my thighs. The bluest sky, sunlight in our eyes. Driving fast, the wind at our backs. I feel so good, I think it's love at last. We were so close.
This is Joe Walsh. I'm speaking on behalf of Rad. It's okay to rock and roll, right? But don't drive home drunk. If you're drunk, call me up. I have a limo. I'll come and get you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I'm in the car next to you on the highway. I sit in front of you on the bus. I'm one out of every six Americans, and I'm struggling with hunger. This isn't an uncontrollable epidemic. There's enough food in this country to feed every hungry person. Please, visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide seven meals for those around you, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
Want to help those affected by Hurricane Sandy? To donate, visit sandy.adcouncil.org. That's sandy.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hi, this is Barry Rolera. You're listening to Swoop's World.
Welcome back to Swoop's World on Talk Story Radio Network. And let me tell you about the Worldwide Music Festival, which is our good friend, Britt Michelle. Mm-hmm, she's going to be performing there. And that's going to stream on YouTube. And she called in last week to talk about it. It's a three-day music festival. It'll be streaming live for 3 days next weekend, the 27th, 28th, and 29th. You can go to artistsintheplus.com, artistsintheplus.com. And it's pretty cool. It's it's all independent artists, and they'll be streaming and performing live from all over the world, from Los Angeles and North Carolina, Bergen, Norway, and a couple other places. And you'll be able to check them out live in Google Hangouts and stuff like that. And on Saturday or Friday night, our good friend Brent Michelle will be performing. So check that out. On Saturday, I will be there to interview some of the artists after they perform on stage. So you'll get to see them perform and then hear our interview and get to learn about some of these great independent artists. So that's always a good time. What were we talking about before we went to break, man? What were we going to talk about when we get back? I know we got some news stories we're going to do and some cool stuff like that. And there was something else I was going to tell you about. Well, we're done with sports. We're done with T-Bone's timeout.
Yeah.
T-Bone will be back next week, but he did call in to give his picks. Let me go and run down where our standings right now in the picks. We've the first 2 weeks of our pickskin picks, the totals have result in... I have 4 correct picks. Peter has 7, and T-Bone has 9 correct picks over these last 3 weeks. We picked 3 NCAA football games and 3 NFL games each week. And this past week, I did horrible, man. Out of the 6 games, I got 1 right. Peter, you got 4 right, and T-Bone got 4 right. So you guys are doing you're doing swell.
Woo!
I got a long way to
catch up.
Just that
scientific... little situation I got going here. I'm
I got your situation. Let's find the intro to the news segment, which is going to start a little early today. Not really. Well, it is early because, you know, T-Bone's time out. That can run, you know, for days sometimes. But it's all because of the way we do it, man. We do cut him off a lot. So, tangents. Peter.
Well, all right. Venezuelan women are dying from buttock injections. And before we go any further, I didn't do it. Okay? Wasn't for lack of trying. But apparently, these women in Venezuela are getting silicone buttock injections. And things are going wrong. This article comes from the Social Reader, and here's how it starts. It's contestants compete during swimsuit segment of the Miss Venezuela 2012 pageant in Caracas. Venezuela's beauty culture has prompted a surge in dangerous silicone injections. Astrid De La Rosa was left bedridden for 2 years. 2 years. Man, oh man. After her liquid silicone buttock injections migrated into her spine, paralyzing the supporting muscles. This would be funny if it wasn't so dangerous. We are trying to educate. Okay. In Venezuela, 17 women have died in the past 12 months as a result of liquid silicone buttock injections. The procedure, which according to Jesus Pereira, the president of the Venezuelan Plastic Surgeons Association, an estimated 30%, 3 out of 10. An estimated 30% of Venezuelan women aged 18 to 50 have undergone attempts to achieve a figure thought to be more attractive to Venezuelan men. While the death toll resulting from these injections has risen since they became widely available in 2008, it has done little to curb the trend of Venezuelans seeking to a quick fix solution to what they perceive as physical inadequacies. Despite being illegal in Venezuela, the country's Association of Cosmetic Surgeons estimate that 2,000 women every month
2,000?
Every month are receiving injections of this bipolymer, either at home or illegally at unlicensed businesses. That's just crazy. But I do have to say that maybe this shouldn't be illegal. You know? Maybe we shouldn't encourage it. But maybe it shouldn't be illegal either. Because if it wasn't illegal, then you'd be doing this in a doctor's office, and maybe you wouldn't be getting sick and dying. I'm maybe. Just saying, maybe it's a possibility.
A lot of people go to outside things, even for places that we, even for things we have
to save money and all that. Exactly. So there'll always be that person, but I suspect that they could cut back on some of these worst case scenarios, some of them, if not all of them, by simply making this not an illegal procedure. And while I wouldn't condone it, I certainly don't. I have a daughter. I certainly don't want her to ever do this. you know. If you want to do this, I don't know. I don't know that it should be an illegal activity. Because the practice is banned, women seeking the procedure must find a fitness or beauty-related business that offers the injections in secret. The injections cost, on average, $8.
See, there. Okay, listen. When you're going to get something injected in your body for $8,
wow.
Think again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you notice that in, what are they using, silicone, whatever they're using, and you notice that they pulled it out of a Home Depot bag.
Yeah,
probably not the safest way to go.
Yeah. The average Venezuelan woman spends 20% of her annual salary on beauty products, while 4,000 people go under the knife every month. These are sort of I don't know how these compare to American statistics. I know my wife doesn't spend 20% of her annual salary, but largely this because I don't let her. Because I have a feeling that if I just said, yeah, go ahead, she might do that.
That'd be beyond the 20%?
I'm not saying she needs it. I'm just saying she might spend it. So anyhow, most of this other stuff kind of gets a little not interesting. But they do go into some details, and they're pumping 560 cc's of bipolymer into each butt cheek. Ugh. And 3 months later, sometimes this stuff is, these people are having trouble sleeping, they're discovering tumors that have formed in the affected in the affected area. So I think that's supposed to be infected area. This sounds like it's a genuine problem here in, or there in Venezuela. But that's just crazy. That's just a crazy, just, I don't know.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah, and I like a booty, but.
Oh, yeah, man, but come on, not at any cost.
Not at any cost. Yeah, exactly. No.
Exactly. Well, you know, every once in a while, sometimes, we've talked about this. He says, done something, you're out having a good time, you figure, hey, stop, have a cocktail, right? Kind of usually know where the kids are.
Oh, yeah.
Be picked up. Yeah. Whatever, you know, what needs to be done. But I need to say this, but it really doesn't need to be said. Out of Florida, we have a mother accused of DUI while, you know, at school picking up the students. So authorities have arrested a woman who they say was driving impaired and nearly hit another vehicle while in student pickup line at Miramar Elementary School. According to a police report, an officer stopped Lisette Laro, 39, of Pembroke Pines in her 2010 Mercedes-Benz shortly before 2:40 p.m. After observing her run over plastic lane markers in the pickup line, outside the elementary school. When police officer approached her, she seemed slightly disoriented, had slurred speech, and told police she didn't know why she had driven over the lane markers. Blah, 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 blah. She told the officers that she had not had anything to drink and wasn't on medication, but the police report said Laurel needed to grab onto the car door to keep her balance when she stepped out of the vehicle. After conducting sobriety tests, the officers found that Laura was unsteady on her feet, swayed while standing on one leg, and couldn't touch the tip of her nose. Da-da-da-da. Laura was in the back of the police car. The odor of alcoholic beverage was clearly emitting from her person. She declined to offer a breath or urine sample. She was taken into custody and charged with driving under the influence. Da-da-da. So, looks like you're picking up your kids, and she was a little toasted, man. You got to make arrangements, man.
You got to
make
arrangements. Oh, man.
You got to sit around cocktailing and go, oh, wait, it's 3 o'clock. I got to go get the kids. You walk them home.
Maybe their cab is in order here, you know what I mean? Yeah, that might be a little embarrassing, a little odd, but certainly safer. And it sounds like it's going to be a whole lot cheaper.
Oh, yes.
You know, down the road here. You know, little, anyhow, that's some crazy stuff. Here, this one is, I can top you here, apparently. It's from the Mail online here, Daily Mail, UK.
Yes.
There's this guy who crashed his car wearing prosthetic breasts. That's kind of crazy, right?
Uh-huh.
He was naked.
Oh, okay.
A little bit odder, but he was also, apparently, high on meth. That explains the breast, I guess.
Any passengers?
And he had a couple passengers. He had two daughters in the back. This guy's
of the year here.
He's been jailed for 29 months, and I suspect that that's probably not going to be long enough. But who knows? This guy named Jonathan Hardy, he was 31, and he was found wearing nothing. He was half naked. The reason why he was half naked is because he's wearing nothing but fake breasts and a woman's shirt, driving, quote, to buy toys for daughters from the dollar store. Now, there's a picture that goes with this, and I'm just glad I didn't have to see this guy and see this. It's already leaving a seared image that is not good. He hit 3 cars in the incident. This is in Washington. And the police, here's interesting, not a good kind of interesting. The police found a nearly full bottle of urine and a pair of ladies' pants at his feet. So one can only imagine what that's about.
There's a whole lot of strange stuff going on with this fella.
Not surprisingly, his youngest daughter, age 4, still has nightmares. And this is his 3rd conviction. So this guy he was on his way. He had to go to the dollar store to buy toys for his daughters. And so he had to get dressed up.
You know, you got to do what you got to do, man.
You
got to
do what you got to do.
It's for the kids.
I mean, kids are lucky. Fortunately, the kids were okay. They were treated for some bruising, but they were okay because that could have been a horrible.
Yeah, he was driving pretty quick too. Huh?
Yeah, they put 160
kilometers
per hour. So that's what that's near 100 miles, right? That's about 100 miles an hour. 110, I think. Yeah. So a little bit weird.
Well, since we're in the parent kick right now, you know how when people get in trouble and their relatives come to their defense, sometimes you wish they would just shut the F up?
Yeah.
Because their defense is not a defense? Well, mom says son didn't shoot anyone because he's gay, and gay people don't shoot kids.
Of course not.
Thanks, Bob. It says, through thick and thin, they've always had their kids' backs. And it's not surprising that a Pennsylvania mother recently insisted that her son was not involved in a shooting that left 2 toddlers in critical condition. What is surprising, though, is her reasoning for why her son is innocent. My son is gay, the mother said. Gay people don't shoot kids. Certain men don't shoot kids. All right. I forgot about that. It says, as of right now, five people who have been detained by Wilkes Bar. We've talked about Wilkes Bar previously, haven't we?
Yeah.
Police for possible involvement. I think we had some beer from there, too. And the shooting.
We did, yeah.
In case you were wondering, one
good.
Of them is the woman's gay son. And they have the video of her defending her son. Let's see if we can get that up on that. Oh, hang on a second. We can't do that. Yeah, we can. So you put your speaker up?
Sure.
Oh, you don't have this. You don't.
I
have
gotta
this,
get that one there. Okay. Let me do.
Click on the. You got it?
Right there.
And see if we can get that up live, because you have to hear mom actually defend the kid. Because down, scroll down
okay,
a little
well,
bit.
Okay, hold on. I gotta realize. I gotta mute over here.
Oh yes, you have other things happening, don't you?
That.
Let's see. Look at it. It's just technology at its finest, man.
Right. Whoops.
You closed out that tab, didn't you?
No. There it is.
All right. Scroll down. Scroll
there it
down.
Is. Okay.
And hit start. And turn up the volume.
You understand? It's exactly. It's two separate situations. And my son and every party in that van, all five of them, all three of them, however you want to see it, are innocent. You understand? And I'm here to show that my son is innocent. He's gay. Gay people don't shoot kids. Certain men don't shoot kids. Her son has nothing to do with it, like my son, nor the other young man that was in here. They are all innocent.
Thanks, Woof. Well, it's quite a defense.
I mean, if that
it beats Twinkie.
If that defense. Doesn't stand up in court, then I don't know.
It might beat the Twinkie defense.
I don't know. Then there's something wrong with the American criminal justice system, obviously, because that's definitive.
True. But you know, hey, give mom props for backing the kid.
Yeah. I mean, and creative. That's a creative,
that is very creative. Well, that was very creative.
Unfortunately, I think she probably believes it. Ooh. I don't think she's making anything up. But still, you know, she's supportive. You want your mom
you
to be supportive.
What?
No matter what you do, you want your mom to support you.
Parents need to support their kids, right? We've talked about that.
Yep.
You know, a couple of our people tuned in. You know, we started the show talking about Miss America. So we'll revisit that in a little bit. But I see you have the queen.
Oh, yeah, the queen.
Now, you know, I've known you for quite a while, and I've known a couple of, you know, Indigo and Ginger.
Yeah.
And well-treated, well-fed. But I think the queen might have top
She's feet. Outdone us, for sure. So this is the queen, as in the Queen of England. Her corgis are fed filet steaks and chicken breasts cooked by a chef and covered with gravy. Poured by the monarch's hand herself. Lovingly prepared meals are delivered by a footman at 5 p.m. sharp. They do not eat until the queen herself has given the royal command, of course. And this is all in a new book about the royals. Here, this is from the Mail Online, the Daily Mail UK. The queen's beloved corgis are fed a luxury diet, as I already previously stated. Royal biographer Brian Hoo-ha claims that the dogs eat at 5 p.m. sharp every day at Buckingham Palace in his book Pets by Royal Appointment. I can just imagine that this is just flying off the shelf, as is this picture. This is quite a picture. I don't even...
That picture's quite old, too.
It is really old, and that is just frightening. Just frightening. Yeah. They do not eat. The queen has given the royal command for them to begin their meals. The dogs are never eat tinned food, what we in America call canned,
yes.
And have even been given homeopathic remedies when they are ill. The queen's love of corgis was said to have been sparked on her 18th birthday when she was given a Pembroke corgi named Susan. From whom numerous successive dogs were bred. I mean, she is like 500 years old,
right? Let me just back up a little bit. I could probably say hundreds of dogs. I've never known of a dog named Susan.
I don't know.
Or cat.
It's like a boy named Sue? Dog named Susan. I don't know what to say about that. some of these corgis were mated with dachshunds. most notably Pipkin, who belonged to Princess Margaret, to create Dorgies. This sounds like a really bad idea. Have any of you have ever seen a corgi?
What's that? Alligator arms, man.
Yeah, they're wrong. They're just not right dogs. There's just no way around this. They're wrong dogs, okay? They don't look right, and they're wrong.
They're better looking than Dachshunds, though.
They're better looking than Dachshunds.
And you breed a corgi with a Dachshund, that's...
The whole idea, from what I understand in breeding, is to improve.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're regressing there. It does not sound good. So, anyhow, the queen... there it goes. All right, the queen now owns two corgis, Willow and Holly. Which are certainly better names, I guess, than Susan.
Should have named Willow and Jaden. They'd have been named after the Will Smith kids.
There you go. And two dorgies, Candy and Vulcan.
Vulcan?
Well, I don't know.
That's a royal name.
Which travel with her to her various residencies. The most recent death in the Queen's menagerie is that of 13-year-old Monty. Now that's what you'd expect the Queen's dog to be named.
Exactly.
Who starred with Her Majesty in the James Bond sketch for the Olympics opening ceremony. However, he was laid to rest at Balmoral Castle in Scotland, where he died. When at Buckingham Palace, the dogs sleep in raised wicker baskets in a special boot room near the royal apartments, where they wander freely, which means that the servants have to clean up after them continuously. So these dogs are... They're living the high life here, man.
They are living the high life, man, and that's not the Miller high life either.
No, that's the real high life. So, the royal family is well known for the love of dogs, but Mr. Huey said the Duke of Edinburgh loathes corgis because they yap too much. He and Prince Edward prefer Labradors, and Prince Andrew is fond of Norfolk Terriers.
Yeah, but see, they're princes and she's a queen.
Yeah.
Dave says if the third one was named Marshall, she'd have the whole cast from Land of the Lost except for a Chaka.
Oh.
See? Dave's always thinking out there, man. You know, he's got that...
Yeah.
He's always thinking.
Yeah. Corgis are awesome. No, they're not, Dave. They are not.
They can't even get up over the curb.
They're absurd animals.
You gotta build ramps for them to get them up to the sidewalk. Well, here's another great, great story here. Where does this one hail out of? Florida. Okay. I love the title of this. It says, "The first cut is the deepest. Woman accused of cutting man after sex encounter." So timing is everything. Angela Dawn Specker was charged on Saturday with aggravated battery after she allegedly cut the man on September 5th, who had allegedly paid her $100 for sex the previous night. The man and the 37-year-old Marathon woman,
I've been there.
Presumably must have had an awkward post-sex encounter after running into each other the next day, as she was just leaving Walgreens liquor store in Marathon. How awkward. Specker reportedly pulled out a knife and cut his forearm and told him, "Perfect timing," according to the sheriff's office. Specker told the investigating officer that she stabbed the man because she was angry about the way he treated her the night before, claiming he had been aggressive by slapping her and pulling her hair as they tried to have sex. When he finished, Specker said he threw $100 at her. According to the report, the man had been transferred to Baptist Hospital in Miami for surgery. Specter was charged with aggravated battery on Saturday and transferred to the Slammer. Some stories you just know they come out of Florida, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes, there you go, man. So, we have a couple more, but before we go to break, you know, Dave had mentioned, he asked us, we had chatted about the Miss America. And so, yeah, Dave, we did kind of talk about that. If you want to add anything to it, we did cover the nonsensical comments that were made about this Arab woman who was actually of Indian descent, which is not Arab, and all the stupidity involved with how could she be Miss America. She's born in Syracuse, New York. I think she qualifies.
Yeah.
What else did we chat about her?
If she's not an American because she's new to the country, right? Her family sounds like she's first generation. By that argument, there's a whole bunch of women that should not be qualified. Anybody that's an immigrant.
Anybody who's been
so the American, beauty pageant there should just be full of like Cherokees and Sioux and Iroquois and Navajo women, because everybody is new to the country.
Yeah.
When you look at it from that point of view. Really all that should matter is she was born in America, and there's no two ways about it. This chick was hot. I mean, she's an attractive person. So.
He says there was also a lady who said she did an Indonesian dance. Oh, yes. You know what? Like I said earlier, the scariest thing about all of this stuff is not just the racism that's involved in those comments, because you know what? If you want to be a racist, knock yourself out. It's the stupidity involved with the comments that go along with it. If you just say, hey, I'm just a racist and I don't want to see anybody, me and Miss America, who's not whatever you've decided Miss America should look like, whatever. When you start saying this is this Arab woman who's going to be, you just show what an idiot you truly are. And like you said earlier, she looks like she's going to be representing the Miss America pageant real well.
Yeah, yeah.
Real well. I saw all those comments. The one from I think the girl who's in the military, she's hot too.
She was hot too. And we talked about that before. It's like, what's the standard that they're using? Like, you're hot, but she's hotter. I mean, that's what it boils down to. I haven't watched the pageant in a number of years, but I do remember a period there where we would watch it, and I remember going... I remember picking my favorites. And my favorites never won, it seemed like. But those other women were all... I didn't go, she was butt ugly, she shouldn't have won.
No.
By the time you've reached, as we talked about already, by the time you've reached that point, they've gone through a number of pageants, a number of competitions. They've been weeded out. There really isn't, you practically could just take a name, drop it in a bowl, pick it out, and say, you just won. Because pretty much they all are attractive enough to qualify, right? To certainly be.
Did they realize that she was already Miss New York? I mean, she'd already accomplished. And like I said before, Donald Trump runs Miss America. If anybody was concerned about birth certificates and whether or not you were a citizen, she was already vetted.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, in the Super Talk Story Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. Time for a quick break, and let's listen to Tom Hornick. This is called Gone. Back after this.
Trying not to think about the words and the hurt that I had to. My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29, and thanks to my college degree, I'm a systems analyst. And the college me would tell you,
I wouldn't be here without big brothers, big sisters. My big brother believed in me, and to a 7-year-old,
that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil, and Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We're retired, and this is how we live United.
We decided to volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too. We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic. We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
My name is Ruth Roosie, and this is how I live United.
I read to children as part of United Way's education program. It helps them create links between language and literacy and prepares them for a better academic future. I figure I have the time and they have the need. My name is Ruth Russi. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hi, I'm Angela Madsen, and I row across oceans, and I've really enjoyed being a guest here at Swoops World. Thanks for having me.
Angela Madsen, a good friend of the show. We're going to get Angela back on sometime soon, find out what she's been up to. I know she's kind of operation, and I think she's planning another go at that row from California to Hawaii. But yeah, you listen to Swoops World on Talk Story Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. And we are in the middle of the news. I almost said T-Bone's time out. The news. I see you have the pot story up. People are shocked that the federal government has not always been that friendly. Huh?
They haven't signed on to this whole pot is medicine stuff. I don't know. I don't get it. Thousands cited for having pot on federal land. Imagine that. In Tacoma, Washington, Karen Strand didn't think she'd get in trouble for having a small container of medical marijuana when she went hiking in Olympic National Park this summer. President Barack Obama, she remembered, had said federal government had bigger fish to fry than people, blah, blah, blah. But a ranger pulled her over on a remote gravel road, and Strand wound up as one of at least 27,000 people cited for having pot on federal land since 2009. The number of citations is small compared to the hundreds of millions of visitors to national parks, forests, and monuments every year. But it nevertheless illustrates one of the many issues Washington, Colorado, and other states face in complying with last month's Justice Department memo that requires them to address 8 federal law enforcement priorities if they want to regulate marijuana. Among those priorities is keeping marijuana use and possession off federal land. State officials have no plans to license pot gardens or stores on federal land, but beyond that, they say it's not clear what they can do to discourage backpackers, or campers. I'm not saying that all backpackers and all campers smoke some weed, but, you know, that's sort of like, you know, that's their demographic there, right?
Yeah.
From bringing a few joints into Rocky Mountain or Mount Rainier National Park. It's not one of the big topics we've discussed a lot about, said Jamie Smith, the spokeswoman for the Governor Jay Inslee. Other concerns on the DOJ's list include keeping marijuana away from kids
out there
and cartels. You don't have to keep it away from cartels.
No, cartels, they're pretty much...
They already have it.
Yes, they got it. They have plenty of it.
Yep.
They have so much that they get rid of a lot of it.
Yeah. Preventing drugged driving and pot-related gun violence and keeping unregulated marijuana grows
from stop for a second.
Spoiling federal
this
land.
Is, okay, here's what we talked about earlier. Bandwagon stuff that people jump on when something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Something about drug-related driving and what else?
Pot-related gun violence.
Dude.
And keeping unregulated marijuana.
Most stoners are too laid back to get up and start shooting the guns because either they got the munchies or they passed out. Was it a sativa? whatever it was, it doesn't lead to, doesn't tend to lead to somebody who's going to get up
some humping done. But did
yeah, it? That didn't lead to somebody who's going to screw it. Let's go shoot up
Walmart.
I'm just saying.
After that, we get some Big Macs.
And we already have laws in the book for driving impaired, so that's kind of a bogus thing, too.
Yeah.
So, what was the last one?
They're worried about from the unregulated marijuana grows from spoiling federal land.
Well, first of all, those who they're smoking weed aren't really growing it, and those who are growing it on federal land have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
they take down those grows about several a year, right? They always end up doing flyovers and go, hey, look at that down there. So that's nothing new. And then, if there's any federal land in Humboldt, it's a whole other ballgame.
That's right. That's right. Yep. So there you have it. Don't bring your weed
on the federal property.
On the federal property, which, to be honest with you,
you should have known.
You should have known.
You should have known.
You know, because you are already, obviously, kind of operating in a gray area.
Yes, indeed.
Especially if you're dealing with the feds. So
the amount of citations they sent out, though, is amazing. What did they say?
27,700 is what they said. And that's just since 2009.
Was it a Bob Marley Festival?
I don't know, man. You know, I don't know. Here's another thing is, if you get pulled over, you know, I'm not saying I ever drank with an open container, but if I had
if
ever
had,
opened with...
You wouldn't be holding it when they walked up to the car, right?
Yeah. You know. It was put away.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, theoretically speaking, it was definitely put away.
It's not sitting there between your legs. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You want my license and registration?
I mean, this seems like a problem that could have really been avoided on a number of different levels. By a number of different people.
Exactly.
I mean, it just doesn't seem to be just...
Everybody's got their cross to bear, man.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, you know what? I got a medical license.
Yeah.
We've known somebody who's been pulled out. Medical license is only good for wherever it's supposed to be good for. You gotta,
which is usually a county thing.
Yeah, you can't be waving that around like you own.
Sometimes it's just a city thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
never
not,
been a federal thing, though.
It's not a federal thing.
Never been a federal
thing. And as soon as you're crossing, just for those of you out there who may not know this already, once you're crossing a state line, it's now a federal thing that you are doing.
Yeah.
Whether it's driving, even if you're doing legal stuff, you've now federally done legal stuff. You have transported illegal or legal goods across federal lines.
Across state lines. That's federal.
That's a federal thing now. Yeah. So just in case, that's what the whole
it's
federal
like the
thing's
man
about.
Law, man.
Yeah,
like the
that's
man
what
law.
The whole...
Transporting the... What is it? Transporting women across state lines for prostitution purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you cross that state line, it opens up a whole other can of worms.
Yeah.
Once you step on the federal property, you can of worms.
Yep.
You know. It's like somewhere... Oh, I believe the Grand Canyon is federal property.
Most of it is.
Yeah, they have a lot of signs that remind you of that. You're like, I can legally carry this. Oh, I can't. This is federal land. It's like driving through parts of Arizona and stuff when you realize you are not only, you're on reservation property. So you kind of...
Again, you've crossed the state line.
You pretty much crossed the state
that's
line.
That's another federal thing.
Yeah, I'm sure. You are the largest reservation this side of the Mississippi. You go, ooh, that opens up a whole lot of other things.
Mm-hmm. Not only have you crossed federal, like a federal line, you've now traveled into an independent nation.
Yeah.
Or at least a sovereign nation. Maybe not independent, but it's a
sovereign nation.
Nation.
Dave says that's what you run to the nearest foreign embassy. I'm safe here. No, you're not. Prove you're Colombian. We don't have to accept you. I think sans T-Bone and what we've covered today, I think I'm about out of words.
Man, I talked more than I normally
talk. You talked more than you've talked last year. Big plans for the weekend?
We got another soccer game coming up. And... for my wife's birthday, one of her employees happens to own a boat and is going to take us out on the boat.
Nice.
The whole family. So hopefully we all come back.
Well,
I know I'm coming back, but...
You put a couple of life jackets on the kids, they'll be fine.
Hopefully.
And your wife is damn near an Olympic swimmer, so
she'll
I think
be
y'all,
all right.
Y'all be back.
I'm more worried about the little kids. You know, they've plopped in the water. I don't know. I think the water's getting cold by now. I may not, flop in there and go get them.
But how many beers should have?
That's right. So, but that should be fun because I haven't been like on a sailboat in forever.
I love sailing. I love boats, but I do love sailing.
So that should be fun. And other than that, you know, soccer game, that's about as exciting as my weekend's going to be. How about you?
No big plans, man. I gotta do some riding on the bike, a couple workouts with my son, and football. No football games.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do like I used to and just shit away the whole weekend watching football all day Saturday with college and all day Sunday with pro sports. But you know, I've kind of matured a little bit, I guess. So I have obligations and such, but I think I'm going to go for a ride on Saturday. I might even ride up to your daughter's game if I get the chance. And Sunday, let's see, I'm going to work out with my son and stuff like that. We've been working out a lot together in the gym,
cool.
Which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to work out with him, even though he pretty much ignores me and does his set and then looks at his phone and texts people and then does his set and then asks me, what do we call this? And I go, we call it this, because I have a little thing to write what he's doing in.
Yeah.
A little journal thing.
Oh, cool.
Then he puts his headphones back on. And but, hey, listen, I get to hang out with him. So
That's modern living
at
right
16,
there,
yeah, that's as good
gonna
as
get.
All right. I think that's going to wrap it for us. Shout out to those of you listening on the TalkStream Live app and the Swoops World iPhone app. Thank you for joining us, and Swoops World Android app as well. Those of you who have been in the chat room tonight, Stacey and Amma, and Dave, of course, is always there to spread his wisdom. Thanks a lot for T-Bone for calling in to give us his picks. And I think that's going to do it for tonight. Everybody have a safe, wonderful week. Tomorrow on Swoops World Prime Time, right here at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, author and motivational speaker Robin Marvel returns to the show, and she's got a new book out. She's always interesting to talk to, and very, very interesting story, because she went through a lot as a young woman and a young girl growing up, and she's actually turned her life into some really cool stuff and shares her what she's learned with the people out there. So check that out if you get a chance. And until then, everybody have a safe and wonderful week and weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
Night all.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.